are created with a great degree of independence, and yet God created us with a great degree of dependence. And there are things in life that that we can do alone, right? But there are things in life that we need someone to help us. But marriage is a perfect example. You know, God saw in the beginning that it is not good for a man to be alone. And so God created a comparable helper for man. So he's not alone. And even Jesus in the flesh needed a helper to fulfill his redemptive purpose. And so we see the power of working together. Today I want to talk to you about the work of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. If you can go there, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. The scripture says he talks about God in the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is at work in us. And unlike other kinds of power, we do not harness the power of God, or we do not harness God's spiritual power, but we yield to the power of God in faith. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit of the living God in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. In verse 10, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, he's talking about the original sin, the sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve. Sometimes we call it the Adamic sin. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. In other translations, you have been justified with God. You have been given the righteousness of God. You have been made right with God. And verse 11 says, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Praise the Lord for the reading of His word. Jesus is the only man in history to rise from the dead. No other great religious leaders, no other great religious teachers ever rose from the dead. In 1900 BC, the Jews' father, Abraham, he died. In 483 BC, the Buddhists say Buddha died. In 632 AD, Muhammad died. In 33 AD, Jesus died. But he came back to life. He conquered the power of the grave. He conquered death. He conquered death. He appeared to over 500 people in 40 days. In a span of 40 days, he appeared to 400 people. You can check that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 8. Yet we know from Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the text that we just read, it is the Holy Spirit who brought Jesus back to life. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus would not have come back to life. He would not have come back in flesh and blood. I asked you to touch your body last week. Can you please touch your flesh right now and see if you still have it? Amen. Hallelujah. Still have it? Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is powerful, and how powerful it is that He brought Jesus back to life. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is the most neglected companion of the believer. That you and I must know the work of the Holy Spirit more. In verse 10, on Romans chapter 8, verse 10, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. There are two things there in verse 10 of Romans chapter 8. Number one, work of the Holy Spirit from our text, it is the Holy Spirit who gives you life. And not only that He gives you life, He gives you a guarantee that He gives you life. Amen. Hallelujah. He said that the Spirit gives you life. And then He said there that even though you die, meaning that He's talking of a life after your death. So it is both present and future. Resurrection. Amen. He gives you life and He guarantees your future life. I find it really, really comforting. It's not about how much of the Holy Spirit we have. It's about how much the Holy Spirit has us. Yeah? When you are born again, the Holy Spirit does not do a renovation project on you. He actually gives you a brand new life. Amen? That's what He said in verse 10. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. When He looks at you and you have the covering of the blood of the Holy Lamb of God, God will say to you, you're right. Because I can see my Son in you. Hallelujah. He gives you a brand new life. You know, at the moment of your regeneration, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We call it indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You know, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Right? So, let me use this bottle as if this represents my life and your life. The Bible, you know, when we are made right with God, this is what happens to us. You know, the Holy Spirit has come into our life. We are indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. So every born-again believer, every person who has received and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ has this oil, Holy Spirit, in your life. But it's not about how much Holy Spirit you have. It's about how much of you does the Holy Spirit have. So as you can see, there's still space in between. He gives you life, and He guarantees that you have that life, even though you may pass this life. Amen? So anyone can have the Holy Spirit. Not everyone has the Holy Spirit, but anyone can have it. Anyone can have it. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. If you open your Bible, anyone who is thirsty may come. The only requirement is, are you thirsty? That's the only requirement. Are you thirsty enough to come and get the Holy and receive the Holy Spirit? Receive the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. Are you thirsty enough? Jesus was speaking. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Verse 38. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. Exactly as we've done. Amen. And for the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Holy Spirit. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit who be given to anyone believing in him. So when you believe in Jesus, there you go. The Holy Spirit indwelt your life. So, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ, and those who are not in the Spirit of the flesh, they are of the Spirit, they are not able to please God. You won't be able to. You won't be able to please God. Why? Because you do not belong to God. Why you don't belong to God? Because you did not allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life through Christ Jesus. I praise God that there is hope in Jesus. God does not disqualify anyone. Everyone is a candidate for the Spirit of God to take over in his life. Praise God. You know, the next thing that the Holy Spirit does in verse 11 of our text, verse 11, the God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within. Yeah, living within you, within me. So number two, the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring the dead to life. At the point of salvation and at the time of rapture. Because in verse 11, there are two types of resurrection that is being said there. One is the resurrection of the flesh when Jesus, the resurrection of our spirit life that is here now with us. Amen. And the other one is the resurrection of us when we die and when Jesus returns in the rapture, we will be resurrected. Amen. You know, the spiritual resurrection that we're talking about must take place first in order for the future bodily resurrection to happen. Because Paul said in verse 11, if the Holy Spirit raised Jesus, gave Jesus a bodily resurrection, if you are born again and the Spirit of God is in you, what He did to Jesus to bring Him bodily resurrection, He will also do it with you in the future. You will receive a bodily resurrection too. Even that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, one story I read about the Holy Spirit is the story that C.S. Lewis is a theologian. He told about a college student who wrote to him. So he received a letter from the student. And the young man was an atheist. And he was very concerned because he had made friends with some Christians in the university. So his friends in the university were enthusiastically speaking and witnessing to him about Jesus. It made a strong impression in the heart of this young man's thinking. But, you know, just like you and me, before we get to faith in Christ, we struggle. There's a struggle. There's a wrestling inside of us. So this man was going through some great struggles about Christianity, because, you know, Christianity is to really understand this, you really have to understand it by faith. Amen. We have to understand it by faith, but also obviously with proper information, proper knowledge about God. And so he wrote to C.S. Lewis, and he wanted to know what the doctor thinks about it. Dr. Lewis, what do you think about this? This is what he wrote back. Lewis wrote back, I think you're already in the meshes of the net. You're very close. And the Holy Spirit is after you. And I doubt you will get away with it. You'll never get away with it. In a church, God's Holy Spirit is in the world today. He's working in the world today. He's seeking the world. He's seeking us. He's trying to teach us about the eternal, the abundant life that only Jesus can give. Right? And this young college student, whom the Holy Spirit is already working with, he did get saved. And his name was Sheldon Bonoken. And so Sheldon, after the Spirit of God took him over through the work of Jesus Christ, putting the Spirit in him, he wrote something in his diary. Do you want me to read what he wrote in his diary? This is what he said. He wrote it on the day, I could not reject Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts you. He compels you. He magnetizes you to Jesus. And he said, I am trying to resist. I'm struggling not to believe that Christianity is the way Christianity is the right way. Jesus is the right way. Because my mind is struggling to understand how the death of one man, Jesus, could give me life everlasting. Why not? I'm a good man. I don't do anything wrong with other people. And that I think is good. If I'm good, then that will give me a way to heaven. But no. This is what God said. I could not reject Christ. There was only one thing to do. I had too many things about Him. There was only one thing for me to do. I turned and flung myself over the gap toward Christ. On a morning with spring in the air, March 29th, I wrote in my notebook. This is what he wrote. I choose. The Holy Spirit will not stop you from choosing, because God has already chosen you. When he died on the cross, he already made a choice before you even made a choice. God already made a choice that even though you are a sinner, he chose to die for you and for me. So that God's choice is already finished on the cross. And so he wrote here, I choose to believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Christ, my Lord and my God. Christianity has the ring, the feel of unique truth, essential truth, but life is made full instead of empty. Life is made full out of empty. Meaningful instead of meaningless. Amen. Meaningful instead of meaningless. I confess my doubts. Come on, listen. I confess my doubts. We all have doubts. God knows that. That's why he gave the Holy Spirit to work out our doubts, to help us work out our doubts. I confess my doubts and ask my Lord Christ to enter my life. I do not know God, he said. I do not know God, but I do say now, be it unto me according to thy will. Hallelujah. Be it unto me according to thy will. I do not affirm that I am without doubt. I do, but ask for help. Having chosen to overcome it, I say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And God did by his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The third thing that the Holy Spirit worked with us is this. In verses 14 to 17. Verses 14 to 17, he says here, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, meaning born again, if you are born again, already you are led by the Spirit. You're not led by the flesh. You are led by the Holy Spirit now. You're under management. You're under new management. Okay? He says here, the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearfully slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba. Abba, meaning Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So the Holy Spirit plus my spirit, they unite. Amen. And then in verse 17, and since we are his children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. We are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. So the third thing from that scripture that the Holy Spirit do is to give you assurance that we are indeed sons and daughters of God. The work of the Holy Spirit is to give you confident assurance, never to doubt again whether do I belong to God or do I not belong to God? Am I saved or am I not saved? The work of the Holy Spirit is to seal that confidence, give you the confidence to say, I am a child of God. I am a son and a daughter of God. It settles your doubts. It settles your questions. It removes any air of doubt in your heart. You just know it, that you are a son of God, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit to always remind you of who you are in God, in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, and for Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit bears testimony to our human spirit that we are indeed the children of God. And that no matter what people say to you, you know and you know, no, I am a child of God. And how do you know? God told me, the Word of God said to me, and the Spirit of God gives me that strong confirmation that I am indeed a child of God. I am a child of the King. King Jesus is my Lord. King Jesus is my God. Everything that King Jesus has in his kingdom is mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit who places you and I in the family of God. That we call it adoption. We are adopted into the family of God. Why are we adopted? Because initially we do not belong to Him. Well, I have 3 children. They're all my biological children. So they are my children. They're not adopted. Whatever we have, they'll get it. When we die, everything that we do here, right now, everything that we do in our practical life is for the future of our children. Isn't it? Isn't it? Whether we buy a house, we build another house, we work, whatever we do, we invest. Everything that we do in terms of our future in this material world is always for the future of our children. We are preparing for the coming of the days when we will have to leave this earth, and we want to make sure that our children are fully covered. Being adopted son and adopted daughter is a different story. We have to go through a legal proceedings. That's exactly what happened on the cross. That's exactly what God did on the cross. The legal process has happened on the cross. When Jesus, we were declared ungodly by God through what happened in the Garden of Eden, we are legitimately and legally cut off from God. But then Jesus came. The Father sent Jesus on earth to go through the cross so that our legal adoption might take place. Amen. Jesus has to pay. How much ransom is required for the world, for the entire humanity to be adopted again back into the kingdom of God? Well, God the Father said it will require us. Who is us that I'm going to send it to earth so you can go through that legal process? You're going to pay the price on the cross. You're going to die there. Your blood will be shed. And that is the perfect payment, the complete payment for the world to be adopted to the family of God again. Hallelujah. The legal process has instituted, completed, on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are adopted by God. How do we get adopted? Well, the adoption papers are all signed by the blood of Jesus. And all you got to do is to sign. You to sign for yourself. Amen. Amen. Who has not signed their adoption papers yet? Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. The Spirit Himself is constantly bearing a joint testimony that we are children of God. We're children of God. The word Abba Father is a very personal address. You don't call just anyone Father, isn't it? You don't just call anyone mama or papa or you don't do that if there you don't have any connection with them. You are not literally a member of the family, isn't it? Yeah? Will you call any stranger out there mama or papa? No, you won't, right? You won't. So Abba is a very personal, very intimate address. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, "Oh Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." No one knows that was the heart of Jesus until now that we are reading the scripture, that's exactly what Jesus said to the Father. It's a very personal address. You know what? When you sign your adoption papers, when you are legally adopted in the kingdom of the Lord, you can freely, you have the freedom to address, you have the right to address. The Holy Spirit gave you the right to address the Father God in heaven as your own Father. And when you're not even afraid. That's why he said that he did not give you, and you did not receive a spirit of fear again. Why? Because, you know, you are not afraid with your Father. You're not afraid with your members of your family. You love them. So you don't approach God with fear anymore. That's not the spirit that you receive. The spirit that you receive is the spirit of legal adoption. Amen? That's why you have the legal right. And throughout this passage, the Spirit is indeed our helper, and He keeps us in the kingdom of God. That's another thing that He does. He keeps us in the kingdom of God. He helps us know what God desires for our lives. In verse 5, I'm going to go quickly. He helps us to control our mind. You know, He gave us the mind of Christ in verse 6. He helps us to live a life of peace. In verse 6, in verse 11, He gives us life. He helps us to put to death the deeds of our fleshly nature. In other words, He helps us to control our desire for sin. Amen? In verse 13. And He testified to the fact that you are a child of God. When God places His Spirit inside of you, that Spirit becomes a life-giving, a life-changing force in your life. You are technically under new management. Galatians 5:16, I advise you not only to obey the Holy Spirit's instructions, because the Holy Spirit will tell you where to go and what to do, and then you would always be doing the wrong things that your evil nature wants you to do. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives? How do we know? There are some visible signs. Number one, you'll be so much receptive and not resistant to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There is an increasing hunger for holiness in your life. As Paul said, you're not under obligation to the evil nature that you desire. So there is an increasing hunger for you to live right. Number two, there is a growing evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 23, what human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions, in worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies and they fight God. They become very jealous. They get angry. They are ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious. They get drunk. They have orgies, sexual appetite, and do other things like this. I warn you, now as I have before, those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God. Verse 22. This is how you know that God is the Spirit of God, has got you, and is working in your life. There is a growing evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the fruit of the Spirit is this: love. Your love for others increases. Your joy increases. Your peace increases. Your patience increases. Your goodness increases. Your kindness increases. your faithfulness increases, your humility increases, your self-control is increasing. Amen. You can see a life without the Holy Spirit can be a mixture of anything. Your life can be a mixture of anything. It's not how much Holy Spirit you have. It's how much of you the Holy Spirit got. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you let the Holy Spirit fill your life, when you release your life to the Holy Spirit and your life is filled with the oil of the Spirit of God, you like to worship God all the time. You always want to pray to God all the time. You have that increasing thirst for the Word of God, and you have a burning desire to witness for Christ. You don't want, you know, you're so proud for people to know that you're a child of God. Amen. You're not a closet Christian. You become a public figure that the whole of you desire for everyone to know. The question is, how can the Spirit have more of me? How can the Spirit have more of me? When you yield your life to the Spirit of God, when you yield your body, your everything to the Lord, the mighty work of God, the power of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, that same power that raised Jesus from the grave is going to continue working in your life. And you will see every areas of your life that are dead will come back to life. I prophesy to you today, I decree and declare by faith in the mighty name of Jesus that every dead thing in your life will come back to life. Every dead areas of your life will be watered by the Spirit of the living God. And when the Spirit of the living God is there, there is freedom, there is resurrection, not only after we die, but right now. You have the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. My only last question to you is, will you let the Holy Spirit do His work in your life?